Sports with Katie Nolan is presented by Coors Light, the beer made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Oh, God, I Googled nads and balls. Why?
On your work computer?
Yes! God. Nads and balls, Rhode Island.
I don't know if that's going to help anything.
Hello, sugar pies. Welcome to Sports. The podcast that ends with a question mark but starts with a question. I'm Katie Nolan. She's Ashley.
Hi.
He's Dop.
Yo.
And this is today's question.
Hey, Katie. This is Chris from Portland. Let me ask you this. What cereal is your go-to for first thing in the morning? And then what cereal is your go-to for late at night? And are they different? All right. Love the show. Talk to you later. Bye.
Chris, the enthusiasm. I love it. Very good question.
Yeah.
It confirms to me I'm not the only person who eats cereal late at night.
Oh, of course not.
I didn't know it was a common thing. So I'm happy to hear that it is. My go-to early morning cereal is usually like a Cinnamon Life.
Okay.
I think that's the one I would eat the most statistically. Or a Frosted Mini Wheat, but like the super mini ones.
Wow.
Because then the frosting to wheat ratio is to my liking. Otherwise, there's too much wheat to frosting. And you have to activate them. So, what? Like, when you put them in the milk, you got to flip them over so the frosting touches the milk before you eat them. Otherwise, they're not good. I know. I told you.
It's called activating the frosting.
Duh.
Okay. Sorry.
It's like when you put the marshmallows from Lucky Charms into a bowl of milk, it activates the marshmallows. They're actually not better once they're activated. Anywho, and then my nighttime cereal is Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah. CT Crunch, for sure.
Nobody calls it CT Crunch.
The cool kids,
It's CTC.
Oh.
So.
What? That sounds like a drug.
That's,
I mean,
why
basically what
it
is, yeah. I'm so confused. I thought you were allergic to cinnamon, and the two of the three cereals you mentioned cinnamon cereals.
Things I tell you in private at dinner are not for sharing on the podcast, but now that we're there, what I said to you is I'm allergic to cinnamon-flavored candy, like artificially flavored cinnamon things.
And CTC is not one of those things?
No, that's covered in actual cinnamon. Do you not understand the difference between like a Red Hot, like a candy, like a Fireball?
Right.
Not the alcohol, but the Fireball candy.
Yes.
And Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
I do understand the difference.
Right. So the difference is where the allergy comes into play.
Sorry.
Hello, everyone. I'm Katie, and I'm kind of allergic to cinnamon candy. It makes my tongue swell up and fill my mouth. Now we all know things about each other. Great. I don't know how to end this question. Did you agree? What's your early morning cereal?
I usually go Honey Nut Cheerios. Although my favorite Cheerios are Apple Cinnamon Cheerios.
They're so good, but nobody ever
has them. No one eats them.
No one has them.
They're really good, but I feel like at least Honey Nut, it's like fake healthy, you know?
Whereas, because Cheerios always talk about how heart healthy they are.
Exactly. I'm lowering my cholesterol.
I think the difference between an early morning cereal and a late night cereal is I feel fine eating a piece of fried something covered in cinnamon and sugar, like coated in it at night. In the morning, it's like, is this the first thing I want to eat today? Actually, if you ask somebody who focuses on nutrition and knows things, it's probably the other way around. Having a bunch of sugar in the morning is probably better for you than having it late at night. But for me, it feels like by the end of the day, I'm ready for treats.
Yeah, it's my comfort food.
I'm ready for treats and snoozing.
Many comfort foods.
Snoozing and treats. That's what nighttime is about. Guys, if you have a question, if you want to leave us a voicemail for the podcast, the number 860-506-5571. Call us, leave a question, and tell us how much you love us. Sometimes us like to have compliments. They're always nice to hear. Before we dive into this week's pod, you know I have to remind you about SeatGeek, the app that makes buying tickets to sports and concerts less complicated and bad. If you don't like going to stuff, that's probably the only reason you would not have downloaded SeatGeek at this point. And even then, it's like, what's wrong with you? Go to some stuff. It'll make you a cooler person. Anyway, SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Let's say you love music. That's really cool for you. SeatGeek will help you out with that. Or maybe you're into sports. Hell yeah. Use SeatGeek to go see a game. They have a lot of games, all different types of games. Whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, you're planning a night out, or you need to find the perfect gift, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. It's like that one friend you wish you had, when you're like, I'd like to do something, and then they actually offer suggestions and help you decide on what to do, instead of saying, I'd like to do something too, what should we do? And then you reply, I don't know, what do you want to do? And they're like, well, you asked first. Like, you did you see something you wanted to do? And you're like, well, not really, but I saw, like, on Instagram a bunch of my friends were doing something. And I was like, I want to do something. So then I texted you. And then the person's like, well, I'm busy right now. Why would you reach out without something? That's what all of our friends are like. SeatGeek isn't like that. You're like, I want to do something. It's like, what about these six awesome things? It saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And they grade every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seat that fits your budget. Doesn't it sound like SeatGeek's your new best friend? Sounds like that to me. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. And because I love you, you guys get $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. You just download the SeatGeek app, enter promo code Nolan, that's me, N-O-L-A-N, today. That's promo code Nolan for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship between you and SeatGeek and me, right? You guys look at me when I'm done with ad reads like I'm going to say something else exciting, and I'm never going to.
I just always get excited to see how you're going to end it.
Me too. All right, today on the podcast, we're going to do the usual bit. Everybody brought a bit of news. We're going to talk about the news, and then we're going to do a bracket because it's March. It's March craziness, folks. It is wild March, as we call it here at Not CBS. It's crazy March time. It's third month wacky town. Basketball in college. We're going to do brackets. And this bracket is going to be related to college sports, but it's not the one you think. It's going to be, yeah, always good with the teases. Always, I'm sure the description of this podcast gives away the tease, so... Whatever. I stick to the things I learned in TV. All right. So headlines first. I brought like three. So I'm just going to run. I just want to talk about things. I just want to make sure we didn't get through the podcast without talking about the fact that Tom Brady chugged a beer on Stephen Colbert on Monday night.
Yeah.
Because today's Tuesday. We're recording this on Tuesday. And it's fresh on my mind. And I knew you two wouldn't care. But it was impressive. And I need you both to just admit it.
It was impressive.
Thank you.
It was probably the coolest thing that I didn't see on Monday night.
What?
You wanted me to say that it was impressive.
Yeah, you didn't see it?
No.
Oh.
I didn't watch Stephen Colbert last night.
Right, but you work in sports.
Oh, yeah.
On multiple podcasts, I've just recently found out.
Oh, did you just find
that
out?
Yeah, you have multiple. I was told when I got here, they were like, do you want Daniel Dopp to be your producer? And I was like, the squirrel dude from Matthew Berry's show? I'm like, well, he's already a guy. For other people, I don't want somebody else's guy. And they're like, oh, in the off season, he's not doing anything and he's really talented. So I met Dopp. I'm like, great guy. Really into him. Let's have him do our podcast. And he's like, you're my number one priority. I got nothing else going on in the off season. And then the other day, I see a tweet that's like, check out the new episode of 90210 or whatever it's called. And I click on his profile just to check in. And I see his bio just says, like, you know, co-host of the 90210 podcast. Oh. And nothing about sports.
Let this be a lesson that I should have just said yes.
To what?
To your question.
About Tom Brady?
Yep.
Yeah, we haven't learned that lesson yet.
Apparently just did in front of everybody.
Anyway, Dopp, tell Matthew Berry, I said, you're mine right now, and he can't have you anymore.
I will tell him
that. Chill. Field Yates is too nice, so if I talk...
It's hard
to Field Yates. He's going to be like, oh, thank you. I'm a big fan. And then I'll feel bad, which is a brilliant strategy by him. So just Matthew Berry, you tell him that I said hello.
I will do that. To be fair, anybody chugging a beer at the age of 40?
Thank you.
Is a pretty, did he have a turtleneck on while he was doing it?
He sure did. So we don't have to talk about his outfit. He did look like a bad guy from a Bond movie, but it doesn't matter because he chugged a beer. He did the most human thing in the least human outfit. And I think that's commendable. He could have been dressed up as a robot and still would have looked more human than he did last night, Monday night. Chugged a beer. I saw some people, your husband, on Twitter try to say that because you see Colbert switch the glasses, that clearly Colbert's was beer and Tom Brady's was water. One has foam and the other doesn't. So if one of them were to be water, apple juice, anything other than beer, it would have been Colbert's. And I shut your husband. I dunked on him on Twitter.
Oh.
And then a producer from Colbert tweeted at him and said, like, it was beer. So tell your, so tell Matthew Berry to suck it and then tell your husband to suck it. Who else? Come at me, bro. Sorry, that was my quick one. And another, the thing I really wanted to dive into, by the time our listeners hear this, free agency in the NFL will be in full swing. But right now, since it's Tuesday, we're just hearing the is expected to sign, is going to sign. So a couple quick updates from, which will be old by the time you hear this. But did anything happen to DeMarco Murray yet? Did he go anywhere? He just got cut.
He got cut and he's done some visits to some teams.
Cool. Visits. That's it. Visits are dope. Drew Brees, people were worried he was going to leave. He's staying put in New Orleans. Kirk Cousins to the Vikings. A historic contract because it's the most recent one. That's the... That's how that works.
That is not why it's historic.
That's how that works.
No, I understand.
Everyone's like, the biggest contract ever. I'm like, yeah, it's the most recent quarterback contract.
It's not the, but that's not why it's historic.
Why is it historic?
It's historic because
finally a white man got a shot.
Okay. It's historic because it is the first fully guaranteed quarterback contract. So his three-year deal, it is fully guaranteed the way that the NBA does contracts where you always get the money. His is the first.
Why? Do you know why?
Because he said that that's what he wanted, and he had enough teams bidding for him that he was able to sort of get what he demanded.
Man, says a lot about where we're at with quarterbacks. Speaking of which, Case Keenum, huge star to the Broncos. Sam Bradford, future Hall of Famer to the Cardinals. And then f***ing Danny Amendola to the Dolphins. You had to stay in the division. You had to. By the way, this is apropos of nothing, but he posted a picture on Instagram, or maybe just Twitter, of him and his perfect girlfriend the other day. And like they, between them, there's like 18 abs. How? Why? I don't like to be a jealous person, but I just looked at it and was like, I don't know which of you I'm more jealous of.
Yeah.
Damn it.
They don't eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
They sure don't. Even to them, they're like, cinnamon life. My goodness. Do you know how many calories that is? Meanwhile, I'm like, that looks like Chex. And they hide the cinnamon inside. So it's a health food. Sammy Watkins also to the Chiefs. And then Trey Burton and Allen Robinson to the Bears. But Trey Burton got paid.
Yeah.
For why?
He had a couple good games.
Sure. But what? Is that enough of a sample size to get paid $1 million a year less than Gronk?
Well, it's...
Was it $8 million a year? Is that what he's getting?
$8 million, 4 years, $32 million total.
Look, I am not going to complain too much. Like, I had Ertz on my team, on my fantasy team this year. Yes, this is the part of the podcast where I'm going to mention my fantasy team, but I won't talk about it for long. I picked up Trey Burton when the first game that Ertz was going to be out, and he went off. And I was like, oh, that's great. But how much of that do you think is a system, and how much of that do you think is that Trey Burton is an exceptional tight end? I was just a quarterback.
Tell you what, we're probably about to find out.
Yeah, probably. Some people might regret it. Save those receipts if you can. But the big story, of course, that I kind of want to get into with you guys a little bit because I'm curious to know your thoughts. Cause I've kind of gone back and forth on it. Richard Sherman
for
the 49ers. 3 years, $39 million. Very heavily incentivized. It's an incentives-based contract. It's like a $2 million base salary. I think he gets a $5 million signing bonus. He gets a $2 million roster bonus if he makes the 46-man roster, right? And then a $1 million playing time incentive, $3 million bonus if he makes to the Pro Bowl. So it's very much like, we'll give you $2 million plus a bunch of other stuff if you do some other stuff. And as we all know, Sherman was his own agent this time around.
That's so badass.
It's super badass. And he's real smart, which I don't think needs to be said at this point anymore. But people seem to still be like, he's not that smart. The guy who does the cap for the 49ers, he called it one of the most complicated contracts on their team. Obviously, Sherman got cut on Friday because Seattle's got a tight cap, and so they had to get rid of him. They also got first right of refusal on his contract. So when he got the 49ers to agree to this deal, like, he had to call the Seahawks and be like, here's the deal, I'm going to sign with the 49ers. If you'd like to make this deal with me, I'll go to you. That's a thing that happens to, you too, Dop. I know you're in talent now. You're in the talent department. But that's what I had to learn what that was when I started doing TV. I was like, what's first right of refusal? They're like, well, if another network offers you a contract, you have to go to the network you're at and say, do you want to offer me this contract? And if they say yes, you got to stay. Anyway, that's boring. What I'm interested in is I was reading this Peter King article on Monday Morning Quarterback about, you know, he got really cool insight into how the process worked of Sherman advocating for himself and going into these meetings with John Lynch. It was really interesting, but with like a closer reading, it feels like, I don't know. The cap guy, he said that Sherman studied our contracts and knew who we'd given real guaranteed money to. He brought up an old Nnamdi Asamoah contract with massive acceleration in it. He had done his research. Very impressive. He said he came into the meeting with us having read all the contracts for all the top cornerbacks, past and present. Like, duh? That seems to me super condescending. Like, on its surface, it's like a compliment. But then you think about it, and it's like, you mean the guy that came in to negotiate his own contract read a bunch of other contracts and came in there prepared to negotiate his contract? Of course he did. Why is the expectation that an athlete who wants to negotiate their own contract would show up and go, what you gonna give me? Of course they're gonna study. He's not just negotiating his own contract because he feels like he's that good and people will pay him. He's a smart dude and he wants to remove the in-between. The most interesting thing about negotiating your own contract with someone, usually when someone's talking to your agent, they can go, well, listen, Richard's old and he hurt himself and he's not worth as much as he used to be. Now John Lynch is sitting across from Richard Sherman, has to look Richard Sherman in the eye and say, well, you're old, you're hurt. That's A, awkward.
Yeah.
And B, like, Richard can go, yeah, no, I know, but this and that and whatever. Whereas the agent's like, cool, so we'll take this off the table, but give him this. And I'm just curious to know if you guys think it's smart or stupid.
I think it depends on the person and how your brain is wired. Some people are good at negotiations and go in confident and are able to stand up for themselves.
Yeah.
And are willing to put in that prep. I think to you, that's a duh because, you know, breaking news, you prepare before you do stuff.
Are you talking about me specifically?
Yeah, you specifically.
Yeah.
But not everybody else goes into things with as much research.
I just think it's weird to expect an athlete would not do their research just because they're doing their own contract. But crazy is going to the 49ers.
Yeah.
Of all the teams. I'm not going to act like I didn't slide into his DMs and ask him to please come to New England, because I did. Because I wanted him to come to New England. But that didn't work. And update. He's going to the 49ers. I am not a good agent for myself, I guess. I didn't make a good enough case.
Did you ask him to come on the podcast at least?
No. He's busy.
Oh.
But I will later. I always feel bad asking people to come on the podcast because I feel like I don't want to annoy them.
But DMing them to ask them to come play for your football team is totally different.
I'm trying to help him.
Yeah.
Hey, here's an option you may not have considered. The New England Patriots. Maybe he reads that and goes, oh my God, how did I forget? It's like they didn't win one Super Bowl recently, so I forgot that they existed. Anyway.
My headline is about a guy named Tiger Woods, who tied for second over the weekend at the Valspar Championship.
Valspar. Did you see? I don't know what hole it was. I think it might have been the 14th or the 16th. There's just a huge Valspar in the back on top of the bushes, and it looks like, I'm going to make a Fringe reference, when they go to a new city and they superimpose the text onto the city and it looks like it's sitting on the building. This is a good reference.
I know what you're talking about.
It looks like Valspar was like imposed upon this bush, but it was real and it was very comical. Sorry, Ashley, go ahead. Tiger Woods.
That's okay. I didn't see that because I didn't watch it because I don't really care that Tiger's back, which is an unpopular opinion.
Shockingly unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
The overwhelming support, on the one hand, Tiger Woods was so great for golf, and there's this really interesting aspect of him having trouble now against a field of golfers who started golfing because of Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Against these like young, he changed golf, and then it made it harder for him to have staying power. Whereas if he hadn't been who he was, then it never would have been this hard and he probably would still be great. It's a fascinating thing, and it's a fascinating aspect of the story. But there's the other aspect of Tiger Woods, like texting girls pictures and being weird. But I had this conversation in makeup the other day. You can't unsee when you read the texts from famous people or athletes or whoever it is that's involved in a scandal and the texts get released. You can't unread them. You can't unsee them. And they stay with you. It's never something normal. It's never like, hey, my wife's away. Why don't you come over tonight? It's always, hey, wifey's out. when the cat's away, the mouse's going to send you a picture of its dick. And it's like, what is? It's just weird. It's a weird thing about all these scandals that stays with me, at least, is just now when I look at Tiger Woods, I, you know, picture him saying all those weird things.
As far as Tiger the golfer.
Yep. So that it would be an exciting comeback story if not for, I can't look at him and.
He's not just Tiger the golfer anymore.
No, but he is. This is one of those conversations where, look, it's tough. It's tough as a person who doesn't like watching wife beaters play in certain sports or people get away with awful and then be allowed to play. And this is not that. He
right.
cheated. He's not a great human being. Married with kids and sleeping around with a bunch of women. But it's not like a crime. So this is one of those weird, murky areas where, look, I don't like him as much as I used to. And that's my personal opinion. But is it still a great story for golf if he manages to come back? Yeah. And the energy's different when you're watching Tiger play golf. It's just people are more excited. People care. And I've watched a bunch of golf without Tiger. And it's exciting because I like Ricky Fowler. Because I can go, Rick! That's what I do every time he's up. Rick! And I put a lot, I allegedly, if I maybe would put money on somebody, it would be Rick! And I think Jordan Spieth is a villain for all time. I'd love to hate Jordan Spieth. I think he's just, when he shushes people, I'm like, you shush. How about you shush? You need perfect silence to hit a ball? You shush. Anyway, then you watch with Tiger and everyone's like invested. And no, you're shaking your head.
I do not care about Tiger. Okay. I got really turned off from Tiger other than all the stuff that happened when Wright Thompson wrote that piece talking about like him spending a lot of time with the Navy SEALs.
And I didn't think I read this.
His attitude about if I wasn't playing golf, this is what I would be doing. Like, it's just so easy to just be a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, sure, yeah. And not so, just like I would enlist. Like, no, I'd be a Navy SEAL.
I'd be a Marine,
yeah.
And there was a part of that that he wrote where he had gone and they all went out to dinner. And as like going out to dinner with all these Navy SEALs he was spending time with, when it came time for the bill, and I get it, and I'm not trying to make this as a blanket statement, but he was like, separate checks, please.
Ooh.
And the Navy SEALs were just like, wait a second.
Yikes.
Like, it's not an expectation. It shouldn't be an expectation that just because you're rich, you should pick up the tab.
Yeah, when you're Tiger Woods rich.
But when you're Tiger Woods and you're out with people like military
members.
When was
this?
This was a couple of years ago that Wright Thompson wrote the article.
He was probably spending a bunch of money on lots of tabs at the time.
Probably was.
So he needed to save up. He had a roster.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's what's tough for me, is drawing a line between understanding I don't like somebody as a person. I wouldn't want them to be, you know, around me, but that isn't, I don't think, I'm still trying to figure this out. If that's enough for me, if I feel okay with, that's his personal life. Like, if something came out about your personal life, well, we're friends. That's completely different. But it's just weird. It's more of a personal life thing versus a criminal, like.
How many people within sports are doing the things that Tiger Woods got caught doing and they aren't getting caught?
Well, but he was doing it in like a very extravagant way.
Totally.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's weird. I'm torn on Tiger Woods. You're saying you don't care if he's back. You don't like watching him. But
no,
how much? It's not like you're watching golf all the time anyway.
I'm not a big golf person, but I actively kind of, I like when he fails.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me happy.
I like that.
People are all excited for him to come back, and I just want him to keep imploding.
Don't worry. I have a funny feeling that he will.
That's the best part.
You were mad about the Patrick Reed thing.
Oh, well, I was mad about Twitter being mad.
Yeah.
So Patrick Reed, who was golfing with Tiger over the weekend, wears red and black because of Tiger. He grew up watching him and he's done it his whole career on Sundays. And so he and Tiger were in the same outfit and people were like, oh, you can't wear that. That's Tiger Woods' outfit. Like, he gets to wear red. I can't wear a red shirt.
This is an awful advertisement for golf. Golf, the sport where we get mad over your outfit.
Right?
That's
Is it just me, or do I think he can wear whatever he wants and people need to get over it?
Is this any different than LeBron choosing to wear 23 when he first came into the league with Michael Jordan?
Like,
that's Michael's number.
Yeah.
No, he's your favorite player, but that's Michael's number. And then he made it his own.
Yeah. I would say it's kind of like that, but it's weird for people to be like, oh, he wears it. They knew that that's why he wore it. He wears it because of Tiger. because he thought it would be a cool thing because he watched Tiger when he was, you know, coming up. And then to be like, oh, but Tiger's playing now, so you've got to take your pants off. Although that is what Tiger used to text women all the time. Tiger's playing now, honey, so you got to take your pants off and your shirt. And just, all right, Dop, what's your headline?
So as you know, the NCAA tournament starts this week, right?
I do know that.
There's what's brackets.
It's because it's the month of March, and this is angerness. This is irate. The state of being irate in March.
I fill out a bracket every year. Fill out one. I'm not one of those people that fills out 100 brackets. But I don't watch a lot of college basketball. So...
Well, you're talking to two experts out here. So.
Is there, like, do I need to watch college basketball to be good at filling out a bracket, or is it just blind luck anyways?
I'm telling you it's blind luck, and someone's going to go, well, I read the numbers, and I guess, blah, 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 blah. I just go based on first instinct. Thin slicing, as they call it. Malcolm Gladwell teaches that in Blink. Ah, I just remembered the name of that book. Right in time. It's like you look at something and then your brain is doing a bunch of assessing that you're not conscious of. And so that's where your instinct comes in. So that first thing you think when you're like, I don't know why my brain's saying Gonzaga, you go for it.
How have you guys done?
Absolutely
like garbage
terrible.
Trash.
So, horrendous.
I'm one of those people that like goes through and looks at the numbers. And
okay.
Blah, 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 blah.
How have you done?
I got second last year and got a cool prize.
Cool.
And prizes are nice.
Yeah, they sure are.
But it's just, there's a bunch of random stuff like I always.
All right. So how are you feeling at your bracket this year?
I always pick a team that has a blue jersey. Because they
so
win.
So you don't
a
go
ball.
Through and look
you
at the numbers, you liar.
On.
Hold like,
on.
Oh, trust your
Let
instinct. And you're like, I always
Let
pick a blue jersey,
Let
a guy with a weird haircut, and
finish.
Somebody who has someone on their team named Devin.
In the last 14 years, Louisville is the
Louisville.
Only team to have one that didn't have blue in their jersey, and their title was vacated. That's a random stat that, is important.
All right, what else? Ashley's got her notebook
out.
Yeah,
I have a whole notebook.
She has a notebook out.
Go ahead. Since 1997.
Sure.
Every winning coach has an I in their last name.
Okay.
So Chris Mack, sorry. Bill Self, sorry. Right. Tony Bennett, nope.
Okay.
There has been one team in the last 20 years lower than a 3 seed to win. It was UConn in 2014. They were a 7. So okay. If you just go through the list and say only...
Process of elimination.
Yeah.
Eliminate any coach doesn't have an I in their name.
Last name.
Sorry.
It's okay. It's important, though.
Here's the thing. These things are all true until the time they're not.
Right. But they're true for a nice stretch. And if that's how I get my Final Four and then I win cool prizes.
What's your reason? You think that not having an I in your last name affects your...
Nope. It just gives me a way to pick that's okay. Not my own instinct that obviously is not great. Because I don't watch college
Maybe we
basketball.
Should all fill out an instinct bracket and narrowing it down with random stats bracket. And at the end of the month that we're currently in, we can see what did better.
I have a
group in ESPN's Tournament Challenge.
You have your own group?
That you can join, yeah, if you want to. Actually, as I'm saying it, I think it might be full. Somebody tweeted, what? Like, I went to join your group and it was full.
I can fix that.
I hadn't even tweeted it yet and a bunch of people were in it. I think it might just be an accident. I think people are, like, trying to get in any group and mine's the only one with tons of slots. But if it's still open, it's called the Katie Nolan Group. Obviously, ESPN's Tournament Challenge. The group ID is 2255791. I don't know. I think it's full. But go check. And if it is, then sorry. But... You've missed the chance to absolutely destroy me. I'm terrible at brackets. Speaking of which, we're going to get to a bracket in just a bit here. Everyone feel good with news? You looked at me like you weren't done talking.
The only thing that I wanted to add is the Packers are going to sign tight end Jimmy Graham to a 3-year deal.
Oh, damn. Breaking news on the podcast, which will be old by the time the podcast listeners listen to it.
But it's breaking news
Broken
for us.
Broken news. Broken news. Jimmy Graham is signing with the Packers.
Ooh.
Wow.
I wonder if that's going to decrease the Rodgers to Rodgers connection.
Wow. I doubt it.
Yeah. Man, probably. You'd think.
I would assume.
Great stuff. Good stuff. Before we get to our very exciting bracket for the day, I know you guys know Spotify is the place to go to stream the latest and greatest in music, but now you can also stream podcasts. Did you know that? It's easy. Open the app on your mobile device or desktop, click on the browse channel, then click on the podcast section. Easy enough, right? You can also stream on your smart speaker. They have all your favorites across news, entertainment, sports, and culture. This podcast, if you feel like it, start streaming now. All right, folks, here we go. The bracket of the day, of the week. Bracket of, yep. You don't ever have.
I know, but
what are you doing?
I'm real congested.
Commit to it.
Oh, no.
And we're down to zero listeners. We're just doing the bracket for ourselves here, which is fine. We're going to power through it. So I don't know if,
That was so good.
Oh, goodness. So I don't know if anybody got to what, Ashley, you've got the time restraint. I have to power through. I don't know if anybody watched the tournament challenge marathon on ESPN yesterday, Monday into Tuesday, where, you know, there were a bunch of people doing a bunch of bits, but Cy and I did a bit where we made a bunch of brackets. One of them was team nicknames that are in this year's tournament, and we picked which one was like the best one. I had on my side of the bracket the St. Bonaventure Bonnies versus the Iona Gales in the Battle of the Aunts. Bonnie v. Gale, Dawn of Justice. Oh, Dawn, also an aunt. She was the ref. Anyway, it got me thinking, some colleges have weird nicknames, man. Like, super weird. So, this week, in honor of the crazy third month, we are going to do a bracket of the weirdest college team nicknames. There are so many. But while I was researching for this bit, I found a thing that really bothers me. So if it's okay with you guys, before we start, I have our very first don't at me. Can we do a don't at me?
Yes, please.
Can I find a sound for it?
Yep.
All right, hold on. I've got a couple we can choose from.
Okay.
Can I go through all of them?
All
right, here's the first one.
Ooh.
Okay. That's the first one.
That's kind of fun.
Here's the second one. All right, and the very last one. Okay. All right, here we go.
What's that from?
I don't know. It's like an evil like thing that you would see in the movies.
Yeah, but it sounded like it reminded me of something, like The Hobbit or something.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. Which one do you guys like? I don't like making decisions.
Oh, gosh.
I like the bugle one.
Okay, let's do the bugle.
Okay.
Okay, so let me tee up, and then you'll play the sound.
Okay.
So, if it's cool, if I may, I have our very first don't at me. All right, don't at me. Strong opinions that I don't want to hear about it. I am done with schools having two separate nicknames, one for their lady team and one for their every other team that's comprised of men. Here's the thing. I know this is a thing people have talked about a lot, and it's like, women, bleh. And I'm not even talking about the ones that aren't egregious. Like, it's not great, but I wouldn't be this fired up if it were just like, Vols, Lady Vols. Yeah, that sucks, and it's stupid because volunteers can be of all genders. But, like, there are some real bad ones out here. We've got the Centenary College Gentlemen and Ladies. What? Huh? Why is that your... Or the Central Missouri Mules and Jennies. Because a Jenny, I learned upon Google, is a female mule. Okay? Flames and Lady Flames. Okay, let's take things that don't have gender and just assign gender to them. The Charleston Southern University Buccaneers and Lady Bucks. The Coastal Carolina Chanticleers and Lady Chants. That's a rooster and then a woman song. They're not even the same thing. How about this? Tarleton State University Texans and Tex-Ans.
No.
No.
Yes.
That one's bad.
Texans and Tex-Ans. Texas and Tex-Ass. Concord University Mountain Lions and Lady Lions. Here's the thing, Concord University. The women, the female lions are the ones that go out and do the hunting. So if your male team is the Mountain Lions and they're assumed to all be dudes, then cool, your teams are lazy as fuck.
Also, Lady Lions are called lionesses. They have an actual name.
Still not better. I'd like you not to at me in my own podcast. I'm telling
you,
I'm not at you.
You're right. That's my bad.
If they were the Mountain Lions and the Lionesses, this would still stand.
It would be terrible.
The female lions are the better lions.
Yes.
So congrats on being a shitty version of a lion. How about this one? Central Arkansas Bears and Sugar Bears.
No.
The Sugar Bears.
No.
The Sugar Bears. Call them gummy bears. Just fucking lean in at that point. The Sugar Bears? Are you kidding me? Bears and lady bears is bad. Bears and sugar bears is absolutely egregious. What are you doing? Why? Why? The sugar... like, the... what? Lincoln Christian College, preachers, and angels. Preachers, and then of course the female version of a preacher, which is an angel question mark. You're a Christian college, you should know that's not correct. And one that just bugs me in general, the Austin P State University governors and lady govs. Like, you're right, women can't. It just is like, again, it's don't at me because I know people are going to be like, why can't everything just be the way that it is? If you're blank and lady blank, whatever, it's not great. I don't love it, but you're probably not going to change it. And who cares? I'm talking about lions and lady lions, bears and sugar bears, ugh, creatures and angels. What are you doing? Every single team. It's not like the basketball team, the hockey team, the football team all have different mascots, nicknames, whatever. But the lady teams have to be the Sugar Bears. The fucking Sugar Bears. I'm sure after this, somebody will Google it and be like, there's a reason. And then I'll feel like a dick. That's the point of Don't At Me. Anyway, that's Don't At Me, a segment where I get really fired up about something that probably doesn't matter. And I know that you think it doesn't matter. And that's why I tell you not to at me. If you at me, we'll never use your voicemail ever on this podcast. I don't know how we'll figure that out, but I'm leaving it up to Dop to trace. You can do the numbers traced to.
Yeah, I can do it.
Twitter users.
I worked for the NSA for a while.
Great. Should we end with that, like, evil sound effect? Start with the bugle.
I went to a place. And I went to a place. I'm not sorry. Oh, who you got? Who you playing today? Oh, I think it'll be an easy win. We're playing the Sugar Bears. Oh, who you guys playing today? Oh, it's an away game at the. We're at the Angels. Which I guess, yeah, that's a baseball team, as I said it.
That was not a good one.
Wow. Sometimes when you think about pro team names, like, out of context, you realize how dumb they are.
So dumb.
How many lakes are in L.A.? Why'd they get to keep the name the Lakers? They should have had to change it. Should have been called the L.A. Traffics. This is not getting better, this bit. And now that we're out of Don't At Me, people might at me about it. All right, so we are doing a bracket of the, I think, what's the adjective you guys want to use? The weirdest college team nicknames? The craziest?
I like the craziest.
The crazy. Oh, the mad,
I like
the maddest.
We can't say. You already told me I can't say the maddest. Let's do the, what'd you say, weirdest?
I thought weirdest, but okay, this is your bracket.
That's
so.
Right, and it's weirdest. So we are doing the weirdest college team nicknames. We've got some schools you've heard of, some schools you probably haven't, but that doesn't matter. It's just about the nicknames, and I put them randomly into a bracket. Got 32, so I think first round, I know, there's a lot. I think first round, I'm going to just go based off of feeling. We're going to get it down to 16, and then I'm going to continue to fill this bracket up, but I'm going to appeal. You guys are going to help. Okay, Dop, I can no longer see your face, and I get worried because I don't know if that means you've left.
No, I'm still here.
You're reading a book?
I'm not reading a book.
Okay. I'm just going through the bracket all around. So here we go. Evergreen State College Gooey Ducks versus the Carnegie Mellon University Tartans. I'm going to take Gooey Ducks. Next up, the Trinity Christian College Trolls versus the Southwestern College Mound Builders. God, what a matchup. I'm going to take the Trolls. Next up, the Lincoln Memorial University Rail Splitters versus the Turtle Mountain Mickey Knocks. Here's the thing. That might be, I didn't Google it, so that might be like a Native American term. The reason I put it in the bracket is because it's way too easily confused with mini cocks. I almost said mini cocks a bunch of times to myself when I made this bracket, so I will eliminate it. I just wanted it to be in there so the world could see. Don't name your team after something that looks like small dicks. So I'm going to take the Rail Splitters. The Florida Southern Moccasins up against the Stetson Hatters. This is too tough. Somebody help on this. Shoes or hats, which are more intimidating?
Hats. I think hats are more egregious than shoes.
Moccasins, though, they're not boots. They're not made for walking.
Moccasins are
literally
soft.
Made for walking.
They're literally soft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not made for
hatters, you have options. You can have intimidating
hats. I assume it's a Stetson hat. That's the type of hat, right? Isn't there a hat called
I was thinking
Stetson?
Of like a top hat. I mean, I don't know.
No, no, guys. Stetson is a type of hat. So that's why I assume the college.
Oh, that makes sense.
Right. So it's like a cowboy hat.
Let's
aren't
take the
moccasins
hatters.
Like a snake?
Okay, so as we've just discovered, a moccasin actually is a snake. So we're going to put the hatters through.
Hatters
because that, I guess a snake is cool, whereas a hat, still not intimidating. Here's one, the St. Louis College of Pharmacy, the Eutectics, up against the Presbyterian College Blue Hose. I'm going to take, this is already hard, and I made this stupid bracket. We should get the definition of eutectics in there, a mixture of substances in fixed proportions that melts and solidifies at a single temperature that's lower than the melting points of the separate constituents or of any other mixture of them. I'm going to take the blue hose because I have no idea what that means. Here's one I really like. The Earlham College Hustlin' Quakers up against the Wichita State Shockers. I'm taking the Hustlers.
As a Penn Quaker, I'm upset that we didn't put the hustle in front of our name.
Yeah, now it's like, well, we know who will win that matchup. The Purdue University Boilermakers up against the Georgetown Hoyas. A Hoya is a plant, right?
Is that a question?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
So a Hoya is a shrub, and a Boilermaker is a trained craftsman who produces steel fabrications from plates and tubes. Also, I think it's a shot or a drink. We'll investigate that in the next round because Boilermaker's going through. Colorado School of Mines Ore Diggers versus the UC Irvine Anteaters. I'm taking the Ore Diggers. North Carolina School of the Arts Fighting Pickles, that's a number one seed. Up against the Shimer College Flaming Smelts. I will take the pickles.
Always take the
pickles. Is a smelt the, like when a fire goes out?
No, I think smelt is what you do when you like melt iron.
Yeah,
right?
Smelting is like, I think that's iron or
I'm
gold.
Smelting.
You smelt it so that it becomes a higher percentage of whatever that is. Okay.
The Tufts University Jumbos up against the Bethel College, that's in Kansas, Threshers. Threshers. I'm taking the Threshers. The St. Louis University Billikens. Up against the Ohio Wesleyan University Battling Bishops. Boy, do I love a battling bishop. This is so hard that I don't know why they're up against each other. Do you have an opinion?
I really don't.
Okay. It's tough, but because I want to talk about what a Billiken is, it's going to the next round. Wait till you find out. Next, the Webster University Gorlocks up against the Southern New Hampshire University Penmen. Penmen, like penmanship. Ooh, if you won the championship, it'd be a penmanship. But still going to eliminate it because, again, we need to talk about the Gorlocks. Okay, Hamilton College Continentals up against the Rhode Island College Anchormen.
Ooh.
Anchormen, like you host a television show, and Continentals, like you're at breakfast. So I'm a big Anchorman. This is already hard, and we're in the first round. Almost done. The Scottsdale Community College Artichokes up against the Kent State Golden Flashes. I'm going with the Artichokes. The Akron Zips up against the UC Santa Cruz Banana Slugs.
Yes!
Banana Slugs are going through. That's B-A-N-A-N-A, and then stop. There aren't more. Banana-na-na-na. Rhode Island School of Design, NADS and Balls.
What?
Up against Marshall University, Thundering Herd. I just put that one in there because I don't think we always need that adjective before the noun. Or thundering, fighting. It's like, we get it. You're going to do stuff. You're a sports team. Just be the herd, like Colin. I'm going to have to go NADS Balls so we can investigate what the fuck is going on at Rhode Island School of Design. So here we are in the Sweet 16. And this is where things are going to start to get good. So up first, we've got the Evergreen State Gooey Ducks up against the Trinity Christian College Trolls. Now, a gooey duck. What's up?
On the bracket, it looks like it says geoducks.
Ah, yes, Ashley. It does look like it says geoducks, doesn't it? That's because that's how you spell the word gooey duck, which is a word. It is a clam. It's a very large, edible, saltwater clam. Gooey duck. A gooey duck.
It's edible, too?
Yes.
I looked at a picture of it yesterday. Edible. It does not look edible.
It looks like it goes to the Rhode Island School of Design.
Yes.
It looks like a, let's just say, it looks like a dick in a shell. Like a dick with a little home to go to if it gets scared.
Like a hermit crab.
Yeah. Kind of like that. I'm trying to discover what, apparently they're delicious. I'm trying to discover what would make you name, look at the picture of the guy holding it. If you're listening, you should go to the Wikipedia for gooey duck, which again is G-E-O duck. And the picture they have is a man holding one in two hands. Ashley. It's a poor choice.
That's the best thing I've ever seen.
It's the largest burrowing clam in the world. You're damn right it is. It is one of the longest living animals of any type. It has a lifespan of up to 140 years, and the oldest has been recorded at 168 years old. I wouldn't want to see a 168-year-old gooey duck. Maybe that's just me. In the etymology section, the name gooey duck is derived from lushoot seed, nisquil, okay, I don't know, is derived from a word composed of a first element of unknown meaning, and another word that means genitals.
Oh.
Or a phrase meaning dig deep, or perhaps both as a double entendre. Sometimes it's called the mud duck. Sometimes it's called the king clam. Or if you translate it literally from Chinese, it's the elephant trunk clam. That is the least problematic name for it, the elephant trunk clam. But no, the Evergreen State College decided to go with the gooey duck. And that's up against the Trolls from Trinity Christian College, which I just think is an interesting name for a team, given its internet meaning now. But you've got to assume they named it before that. Even then, living under a bridge, eating garbage, I don't know. Am I combining goats and trolls? Goats and trolls. Goats and trolls. Okay. So we have to put the gooey ducks.
Yeah, it has to go with the gooey ducks.
Okay. Gooey ducks, moving on.
I just want to put them in the final now. Like, just go.
I know. They're going to have some tough competition, though. You just wait. So now we have the rail splitters up against the Hatters. What's a rail splitter?
I think that's when you are trying to do a trick on your skateboard and you fall onto it.
Oh, and hit yourself in the gooey duck.
Yes. In the Rhode Island NADS and Balls. Is
a person who splits logs for building fences. Or it was a nickname for Abraham Lincoln.
Oh. Well, that's very respectable.
Lincoln Memorial University rail splitters. So they named it after Lincoln. Well, that's less funny. We're putting hats through to the next round. Hats. Now we've got the Presbyterian College Blue Hose up against the Hustlin' Quakers. Bluehose. That's H-O-S-E. And apparently it is supposed to be about the socks that they wore. These blue socks, like hosiery hose.
Oh, like stockings.
Candy hose.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Problem is, it sounds like hose. Like
hose.
Like, H-O-E-S.
Right. A garden tool. No, right. Just, it's like a word for whores. I don't know.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, right. Like, you don't know if I'm allowed to go there or what. I don't think you want to name your team the Blue Sluts. You just made a face.
Yeah, I wouldn't love that. I wouldn't want to be a blue hoe.
Yeah, that's another. This is another. Don't at me. Example, if you're not thinking about the... Do women go to Presbyterian College or are they not
I'm
allowed?
Sure that they are.
They do.
You have a female... You have teams made up of women? And they have to go out there and be the blue hoes? Maybe we want to change that to something else?
Maybe.
So this is where the weirdest thing makes it hard. Because, like, blue hoes is objectively super weird. But Hustling Quakers, also weird.
I don't think of hustling when I think of Quakers.
Nor do I. Well, but that's just probably because... Now, here's where I'm going to sound stupid. Okay. For the very first time.
I've already done it,
Quakers were the old in Pennsylvania, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say the words I know are true. Old times, not recent.
No, they're still here. Like, you can be a Quaker. It's a religion as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you can be
a
Quaker.
You go to meeting and stuff.
You what?
Go to meeting instead of like church. You go to meeting.
Okay. And what is it? What are they about?
I can't speak on it as an expert.
They were a Christian movement that was founded in 1650 devoted to peaceful principles.
Cool. So they're not hustling.
They're real nice.
Here's what I don't get. Like, do you think they understand what hustling means?
Because
like it can mean a bunch of things. They might think it's like run fast to first base. But really mostly like hustling is like, you know, doing whatever you got to do to make that money. You're getting out there doing stuff maybe you're not proud of, maybe you don't tell your kids about, but you got to do it because you got to put bacon on the table. You got to bring home the bacon. Put bacon on the table. That's the old colloquialism.
The one thing I will say is in the 1650s, individual Quaker women prophesied and preached publicly.
I still didn't say it right, but great, keep going.
Which is something that you wouldn't assume is that they're letting women do that out in public in 1650. So I got to give them a little bit
of props
for that.
You're saying it's woke, especially when compared to the blue hose.
Yes.
But didn't you say they go by a different name?
Something about the Scotsman, but I think that's their mascot.
Their mascot is a Scotsman, but they're the
blue hose.
They're the Presbyterian College blue hose.
Yeah.
So they like had a choice and they chose blue hose.
They chose the hose.
Oh. All right. Blue hose moves on. Next up, we've got the Boilermakers up against the Ore Diggers. Now, it is the Colorado School of Mines. And I'm not saying mines. They may have great mines. But it is mines. They are mining. So it makes sense. They're the ore diggers.
It's very specific, though.
They're digging for some ore?
Yeah.
Yeah, what about coal miners? What, do they have to go to a different college? Wait, is coal ore? I don't understand anything.
I think ore is iron. I think iron ore.
I think metal is an ore.
Yeah.
Any type of metal. And coal, we all know, is not a metal.
We all know that.
It's an organic compound. Yes. And metals are not that.
Yes.
Sometimes you think you're smart and then you're like, nope, I'm dumb.
Nope.
All right. So they're the ore diggers. I don't like it. I just don't like it. I don't like that name. It's too much to say. And also it implies that you're not above ground focused on your work. You're not prepping for a game. You are underground digging for metal.
Right.
You know where everybody else is trying to get metal? On a podium. Mm. They're at practice.
Yeah.
You're down the ground trying to pull out tin or something.
Is tin a metal that you pull out of the ground?
So a Boilermaker is a beer cocktail. Little known fun fact here. It's usually a beer with a shot of whiskey. That's a Boilermaker, which is my favorite thing in the world. Since that's my favorite thing in the world, we're going to have to put ore diggers through because I would love my team to be named after a beer and a shot. It's a good trivia team name.
The Boilermakers?
Yeah. I don't know because it's an actual team name. I'm trying. You guys feel like you want me to just get the through this.
No.
Here we go.
I just want to get back to Gooey Ducks.
We will. We're going to circle back around. Other side of the bracket, we've got... The Fighting Pickles.
Oh,
Yay!
Up against the threshers. Now, a thresher is a machine. This is my coastal bias that I assume people don't know what it is, because I didn't and I Googled it.
Don't.
It's a machine you put wheat into and it grinds it up, turns it into wheat.
I actually knew that, surprisingly.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
I grew up in the Midwest.
That's why.
There's a lot of stuff in the Midwest like that.
Sure. It is funny because it looks like thrashers, which would be a cool thing, but it's a thresher, which is very specific. Like, we're going to take wheat and we're going to make it more, we're going to make it wheat.
I was thinking of thrush. Isn't that like a disease?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's thrush, like a yeast. I think it's a yeast infection.
Oh, God.
To be fair, everybody, they're common in babies. So that's why Ashley would know that. Let's not read anything into, I'm sorry. Let's just move. I'm going to, pickles in the next round. Oh, boy. All right. Next, we have the Billikens versus the Gorlocks. What are either of those things? Man, I am just so glad you asked. So a Billiken is a mythical good luck figure who represents, and I quote, things as they ought to be. So apparently, before it was the mascot of St. Louis University, he was a national sensation. I must have missed it. It was a figure who was burned into dolls, marshmallow candies, metal banks, hat pins, pickle forks. These are all really good mascots. Pickle forks, belt buckles, auto hood ornaments, salt and pepper shakers, bottles, and more. So a Missouri art teacher patented this design of an image that I guess like came to her in a dream. And that is what they made as their mascot.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at it. That's not what I had anticipated it looking like.
What do you think it was going to look like?
It's supposed to be good luck of the way things ought to be.
Yep.
Not that.
In the one where it's winking, it looks like the Grinch.
It looks a little bit evil, doesn't it?
It looks a lot like the Grinch. It does not look like good luck. And I don't like it.
That's weird.
The woman who made it is said to have seen the mysterious figure in a dream. And I think those are called nightmares. Those are the special kinds of dreams.
Oh. Like the non-mascot version.
Is that on campus? Because it's an SLU picture. It looks like they have a statue on campus of a weird-looking baby that is supposed to be a Billiken. So that's what a Billiken is. Keep that in mind as I tell you what a Gorlock is. Webster University Gorlocks. They got to that name when they had a school contest and staff and students submitted what they thought the mascot should be. It's a make-believe creature that has the paws of a cheetah, the horns of a buffalo, and the face of a St. Bernard dog. This is like the poster child of indecisiveness. They had a school-wide contest to ask people what the mascot should be, and nobody could decide on anything. And so they took the paws of a cheetah, the horns of a buffalo, and the face of a dog. Just pick one, guys. You're Webster University. No one's going to care. But no, we have a Gorlock, and that's not spelled how you might think. There's no C. It's just G-O-R-L-O-K.
Oh.
Gorlock.
All right. I will say this is less weird than a Billiken.
You mean the way it looks?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I'm more freaked out by a Billiken than I am a Gorlock. Maybe that's weird.
Yeah, the Gorlock does look like a dog with horns, and then I don't know why they got feet from a different animal. It's really not that noticeable. Nobody's looking at it and going, oh, those are clearly the feet of a cheetah.
Yes, they must be fast.
Oh, yeah, sure. But they don't look any... I think we're going to go with the Billikens. Okay, we're going with the Billikens. Sorry, Gorlocks, but if we don't pick the Billikens, they're going to haunt our dreams. Next, we have the Anchormen up against the artichokes. Now, Anchormen, Ashley, you said is when the people lift up the anchor from the ship or something?
I was thinking like if you anchor a race, you're like the last person.
Oh.
You know, like if it's in a relay, you're like you're the anchor.
Is track the only sport they have at this school? No. So then
could we swimming?
Is relay the only thing they do at this school? All different types of relay?
Other than pull up is, anchors on ships.
Is Relay University.
Is it a broadcasting school?
Great question that this could probably help you with.
Okay.
Okay, so an anchor man, I just looked it up on the Google.
On the Google!
It is the main host of a television or radio program.
Yeah.
It is the most reliable runner in a relay team, usually the one that runs last.
Yep.
And it is also the person on a ship in charge of the anchor.
So you said all the things we said.
All the things you guys said.
We nailed it.
All the things we said. All the things we said. Remember that song? I'll stop. Who was that? Tegan and Sarah.
I don't know, but now we got to pay him $1 million because you had to do that thing.
They don't. It was Smeagan and Tara. Is it a broadcasting school was the question. The answer, I think, no. They have 5 colleges, arts and sciences, education, human development, management, nursing, social work. So no.
All right.
So why? They're a member of the Little East Conference. That is just adorable. The Little East. I've always been praying for peace in the Little East. Myself personally. Stop.
Do I have to cut that out?
No, I wanted you to laugh. Peace.
No, I got it. No, I got it the first time. Yeah.
You didn't laugh. I just want to make sure you heard it.
No, I heard it.
So there's no explanation. But it was established as the Rhode Island State Normal School. That was what they were originally called.
This is in Rhode Island, too?
Going too deep. Yeah, Rhode Island's got problems, I think. They're sick of being neither a road nor an island. And they'd like to be recognized. What do you think? Anchorman or artichokes? Because an artichoke, what the hell?
Like, that's not scary about anything.
Artichokes native to Arizona? I imagine so.
Sure. I love their dips.
You love their dips?
Yeah, spinach artichoke dips.
Fun fact, a spinach artichoke dip is about 2% artichoke and like 80% Philadelphia cream cheese.
Yeah, oh, Philly.
That is so good,
I watched
though.
Somebody make a spin dip once, and I was like, why? Why do I eat that? Also, I've heard now we're calling it Sparty Dip. It used to be Spin Dip, but now I'm hearing it's Sparty Dip.
Why is it Sparty Dip?
Spinach artichoke dip.
Sparty.
It does not acknowledge the artichoke.
The artichoke. Dip. Yeah.
They deserve to be heard.
I like the artichokes moving on, but that's just me.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so we'll do the artichokes. Last one in the Sweet 16, the banana slugs up against the Nads and the Balls.
Explain that for me.
A little bit of background here. The Nads are the hockey team at the Rhode Island School of Design. As you know, designers, big on hockey. The Balls are the basketball team.
Oh.
Subtlety is not offered as a major at Rhode Island School of Design. So they have a different name for each sport. I don't know if those are their only two sports, but the Nads and the Balls. Then, and this is just a cursory Google search I made earlier, I'm hoping you guys will follow up while I talk. Somebody started dressing up as a peen and going to hockey games as Scrody. The mascot at the hockey games. And it was exactly what you think it is. Also, the logo for the hockey team is a hockey stick. Picture it laying on the ground. And at the top of the stick where you hold it is 2 pucks. So there, again, for a school of design, the subtlety there is really lacking. It's like I was just going to say, shove this down your throat. We are going to make it very clear what we're going for here. I'm just confused about how they're getting away with that.
You want to know what I think?
What?
For me, the most notable alumni from the school.
Oh, God.
Seth MacFarlane.
No.
Yes.
No way.
Yes.
Well, that explains it.
I feel like he might have something to do with it.
Wow. Ash, have you found anything in your search?
No.
Oh. I Googled Nads and Balls. Why?
On your work computer?
Yes! God. Nads and Balls, Rhode Island.
I don't know if that's going to help anything.
Oh, my God. These pictures of the mascot just running around on the ice is something else. So this is real. Like, this is one of those things that feels like if I had an hour, I could probably get to the bottom of it. But since we don't, it is a thing.
When they cheer for their team, oh, they say, "Go Neds!"
Oh my god! So banana slugs versus essentially banana slugs.
Yes. Like one of them knows the proper use of innuendo,
right?
The other one does not.
The other one not so much. Here's the thing, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, but this is what I'm, this is my reasoning. I think I'm going to leave Nads and Balls behind because it feels like they're, that's what they're going for. They really want you to be like, look how wacky. They're like, it's just not, it, right. So I think I might go with Banana Slugs because it's a crazy name and it's not like the penises. Like
right.
It's, it is a little bit funny and weird instead of being like Dwight Howard. Look how funny I am. I'm so funny and weird. And like, you're, that's not, okay, cool. So Banana Slugs moves on. Banana. Banana. This is clearly a recurring problem in my life, writing too many NAs after the B. Okay, slug. Here we are in the Elite Eight. Gooey Ducks versus Hats.
This is so easy for me.
You just want the Gooey Ducks
of
to go all the way through.
Of course.
You're not even thinking about the matchups. It's got to be about the the point of a bracket's for the matchups.
Okay. Hatters, they're weird.
I literally wrote Hats. I was like, why would you? The Hatters. They're mad. Like March.
No.
And for that reason, we have to eliminate them.
And they are out.
Because we're not allowed to say that. And also, the Gooey Ducks.
Can you imagine putting a hat on a Gooey Duck?
This is why we have you, Duck. For that good content.
I think that's Scrody, the RISD mascot.
And then we have the Blue Hose versus the Ore Diggers. It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
This is your bracket.
I know. I'm just thinking like they're both bad in their own right, but Blue Hose is so bad because you never want a team name where you have to say, no, wait, look at it written down.
Yeah.
Look at what it, not hose, it's hose. It's like,
oh.
Oh, okay. It's also going to be used to refer to a group of women trying to play a sport. And so Blue Hose, it is.
Yeah.
Moving on. But to be clear, Ore Diggers is a terrible name for your team. Okay. On the other side. The Fighting Pickles.
Oh my gosh.
Up against the Billikens. A little creature that haunts your nightmares.
Ugh.
This is the toughest matchup so far for me personally.
Yeah, I agree. The tough thing is that while I love a fighting pickle, part of me is like, I've always assumed pickles were peaceful. They were a peaceful people. They just chill in jars.
Did you never watch the Rick and Morty episode?
Oh, Pickle Rick.
I mean, that brought a whole new meaning to the fighting pickles.
They should probably adopt him as a mascot.
Probably.
Pickle Rick. Well, now we're going to get Rick and Morty people mad at us if we eliminate the fighting pickles. And as McDonald's has learned recently, you do not want the
do
Rick and Morty people mad at you.
Do not do that.
Well, maybe they would be happy that they were eliminated because that means Billikens is weirder.
Yeah, maybe. But probably not. Pleasing them is hard. Billikens, I think, so I'm trying to picture what it would be like to play against one of these teams. Like to be on the bus, on your way to a game, who we got today? The Fighting Pickles or the Billikens? Which one is making you go, I'm sorry, what? More than the other.
Fighting Pickles.
Because you got to Google a Billiken.
But Billiken, in my head, you say it, and I just imagine a
pelican.
Creature or something. Yeah, exactly.
I imagine a pelican.
Yep.
And I think if I just made that same point about Blue Hose, how, like, the way it sounds is important.
Yep.
Well, Billiken sounds enough like pelican that it's actually not, it's not as off-putting as, I'm sorry, the fighting pickles? The pickles that fight? And also, just because this is a running theme, it's probably some sort of a reference to the male genitalia, because as we've learned, sports is really singularly focused sometimes, and sometimes it's more transparent than others. Fighting Pickles moves on to the next round. Last one, going into the final four, we have the Artichokes up against the Banana Slugs. I don't know enough about banana slugs. I just realized, are they edible? Are they not? That's a banana pepper. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you want to eat a slug.
A banana slug is a common name for three North American species of terrestrial slug in the genus Who Cares? These slugs are often yellow in color and sometimes spotted with brown like a ripe banana.
Here's the thing.
Yeah, Dop.
Like, when I think, I get it. An artichoke literally isn't going to do anything. It's a vegetable.
A what?
I did it right.
It's a what?
It's a vegetable.
Say it how you say it.
It's a vegetable.
Yeah, oh, it's a vegetable.
But a banana slug is just so ridiculous. Like, we're going to take on this short, slimy little thing. You know what I mean?
Also, they can change colors if you give them different food.
Oh, that's dope.
That's really cool.
Or it's not dope because you're a banana slug and you're married and your banana slug wife is like, I'd really like it if you stopped eating so much bark. I don't know what slugs eat. I'd like it if you stopped eating so much mosquitoes, so many mosquitoes. And then the guy's like, yep, totally, totally going to not eat those mosquitoes anymore, I promise. And then a couple weeks go by and she's like, I notice you're still the exact same color as a slug who eats mosquitoes. You mosquito eating liar. And then it's a divorce, you know, and then that's messy because banana slug lawyers are not cheap. And so everybody knows that. I'm just waiting for one of you to jump in and help me.
Please keep
the other
going.
Thing that's great about a banana slug, though, is they are hermaphrodites.
I was just going to say that.
You were not.
They're simultaneous hermaphrodites, Dup. Which means, I don't know. It sounds like
what does it
mean? At the same time.
They have both at the same time.
Yeah, but what's a non-simul? Forget it. Don't bother. I don't want you going down that road. They reproduce by exchanging sperm with their mate. But why? But they. Here is this though. Their slime contains pheromones to attract other slugs for mating.
So their pickles don't fight.
No, their pickles get along great.
Peaceful exchange.
Their pickles are friendly, and they interact with each other.
I don't know. I like the banana slugs. I think their mascot's cute. Like, to me, artichokes is, there's like nothing redeeming about an artichoke. Like, what? It's just boring.
I really think we should take banana slugs and move on, because I want to see the banana slugs take on the fighting pickles.
You're thinking matchups.
I'm thinking matchups.
That's fair, because pickles versus artichokes is an easy battle. We're going to move the banana slug on. Also, I'm pretty sure Santa Cruz is like a legit school. So, folks, we're in the final four. As a refresher, it's the Gooey Ducks up against the Blue Hose, and then the Fighting Pickles against the Banana Slugs, which, man, this is just...
It's three phallic-like objects going against
one,
each other.
And just one group of hoes.
Yes.
And they're sad. Sad hoes.
What does that say about us that these are the four that we chose?
What does that say about America? That we narrowed down our favorites and they were dicks and receptacles. What does that say?
To be fair, I think a gooey duck is both.
It is both a. And so is a banana slug we just learned.
That's
simultaneously.
True. Also a receptacle.
But pickles, they're just for... Picklin.
They only pickle.
I'm just trying to stay out of... This is going to be the hardest edit you've ever had in your life.
Yep.
Let's head to our first matchup, Gooey Ducks up against Blue Hose. How... I know, Ashley, you want the Gooey Ducks.
I have never seen an image so hysterical as that of a Gooey Duck. This is the best thing that has been brought into my life.
It looks
in a
like,
long time.
The thing that's kind of making me nervous is it looks just like the shell you always pick up on the beach. The one that's like, oh, that's that shell. It's the same. It's a stereotypical. It's what you think of when you say seashell. Am I touching the thing that used to have that in it?
Well, here's the
thing. I don't love that.
So all these pictures I'm looking at online, the gooey duck is like twice as big as the shell. Is it always out of its shell or
sure
does it ever
like
go
it.
Back into its shell?
Well, that's a question I've asked many a boyfriend. Can you put it away? No, it's just like this. I can't help it. It's the morning. Oh, my God. It's huge. That is disgusting.
Okay. I'm rooting for the gooey ducks. That's my pick.
You have to root for the gooey ducks. Also, it's hard to look at it and not say geoducks, but I know it's gooey ducks.
That's just this added element of it that makes it so much better. Oh, they have a fight song.
What is it?
I don't know the tune, but it's Go, Gooey Ducks, Go, Through the Mud and the Sand, Let's Go. siphon high, squirt it out.
No.
Swivel all about, let it all hang out.
Okay. Let's leave it. There's another verse, and I don't need it. What is its connection to Evergreen State College? It says that it represents the essence of their charm, and that means you should avoid Evergreen State College at all costs.
I think the only thing is that it is primarily found, it's native to the west coast of Canada and northwest coast of United States, so it's okay. Just in the area.
Okay. Gooey Duck Athletics are a great way for students to get involved, improve skills, build relationships, and have a good time. That usually means they're sub D3. They're not even, yeah, it's probably not. So when you're one of those schools, you can just name your team whatever's going to get people to go, oh my God, wait, a Gooey Duck? I would love to, what a fun bit. But they're not like competing. So does that change then? Does that change your wanting to bring it to the next round? Because what? it's like saying, oh, well, my team mascot is the penis. It's like, well, yeah, but you're not actually competing.
I don't think that's what they're doing.
No, I don't mean, I'm sorry.
In the same
I mean, that's
way
like
that,
saying,
like,
no. I mean, that's like saying, oh, my team mascot is the wizard sleeve. Like, you just pick anything because you can. They're not actually like, well, we have to put this on a jersey. We have to show up to the game. We have to compete. And our name is the fucking peen clam. No one's going to take us seriously. No one's going to take them seriously because they don't play sports.
They don't have any teams?
They said that their sports on their campus are for making friends, essentially.
Yeah, there's only 3,900 people enrolled at the school.
They have track and field. It's the only event listed. There's a section called events, and it just says track and field.
You know who went to...
I clicked on their athletics page, and it says error.
I thought you were gonna...
Stop. Stop it.
That's really funny. Mine was just a picture of a big dude with a huge beard. No, they have a basketball. I'm so sorry. I'm looking at a picture of a basketball team. They do have to show up to games.
Wow.
With Gooey Duck on their shirt. Gooey Ducks to the finals. Goodbye to the Blue Hose. Okay, on the other side, one of them's getting to the final.
Oof.
It's the Fighting Pickles. The Fighting Pickles from North... What was that?
I don't know.
Do.
What is that? The good news is it's better than my sad air horn from
true.
Earlier.
I just love that you felt like you wanted to build the excitement, so you went do. Like, cool. Thank you. The North Carolina School of the Arts Fighting Pickles up against the UC Santa Cruz Banana Slugs. It feels like... This feels like that meme of Spider-Man pointing at Spider-Man. Like, you, no you. Are you a fighting pickle or a banana slug? I didn't know you had to choose. So a banana slug, I'm just going to talk through my reasonings here.
Okay.
A banana slug is technically an animal or a mammal or a creature, which is common for mascots. It is common for a mascot to be...
An animal.
An animal.
Yeah.
A thing, a living creature. A pickle is not...
Right.
Right. So I'm just trying to think of, I'm trying to use process of elimination to pick one. Instead of just laughing how funny they are, I have to make a decision.
Okay. If it wasn't a banana slug, if it was just a slug.
Not as funny.
So it's the specific branding of the slug.
It's the fact that it's, the word is what makes it funny. It's a banana slug.
Also, same with pickles.
Right.
And if you're not fighting, you're just chilling in a jar.
If you ain't fighting, you ain't racing. If you ain't rubbing, if you ain't. So my dad was in a sports, him and his friends when they were growing up made a sports league, is a weird way to put it, but it was just, they were called the Cellar Dwellers, and they would have invitationals with, like, they would do road races together, they would do street hockey tournaments together, they would do golf tournaments. They still do the golf tournament. I don't know about the other
Your
stuff.
Your dad seems cool.
Can I have
his number when we're done?
He is, this is back when he was in fighting shape.
Oh.
He is still a very cool, lovable man, but he's not out there playing street hockey like he used to.
Ugh.
He's a little bit bigger.
He could be
now
a goalie.
Than he was. That is true. That is true. So anyway, they were called the Cellar Dwellers, and growing up, I would always go to the Cellar Dweller events. Like, I was the little annoying kid, me and my brother running around the thing, and they would give out a new t-shirt every year. It would say Cellar Dweller Invitational, and it was a golf club crossed with a hockey stick and a golf ball and then a hockey puck or a street hockey ball. And then in the middle was a slug.
What?
And finally, finally it comes back to why I'm telling this story. They had a little slug, was I guess their mascot. I guess a cellar dweller. They were in the ground and there were slugs. It may have had something. My dad will call me after he listens to this podcast and be like, you didn't get the story of the cellar dwellers right. So sorry, Dad, but there was a slug. So I have an affinity for slugs because I have like 9 different neon colored t-shirts with slugs on them. One year it'd be green and the next year it'd be hot pink. And then it was teal and you'd get excited about what color t-shirt you were going to get. I don't think I have a yellow one, which would be a banana slug.
Well, your dad also ate 21½ bananas.
A bunch of bananas. So
this is the Katie Nolan
family.
Holy
moly. I still didn't double check what that actual number was.
I feel
was.
Like there was a half. It was like
23 and a 20 half.
20 something and a half.
Whatever.
Credit for that half of a banana.
Yep, banana and slug, I'm now realizing, is like, it really touching on my daddy issues.
Wait, so should we send it through or send it home?
I feel like if we're going to keep talking about penises, I'd love to leave banana slugs behind. And just like that, the fighting pickles are through. Good God. I am crashing and burning today. Dop keeps ducking down, which I think is to take note of all the things to cut out of the podcast. Do you have to bleep the word penis?
I'm not going to, and we'll find out if I have a job next week.
Hell yeah. It is not a bad word.
It is a part of
the body.
It's
an ugly thing, but it's not a bad word.
If I get fired, do you need an assistant or something?
You'll be my independent contractor. I'll hire you on the side.
I appreciate that.
I got you, Dot. Okay, folks, in the finals. Everybody ready? Do you need like a sip of water? Do you want
to? Yeah.
I'm set. I'm ready.
Do a bump or something? I feel like.
No, I've been ready. I've been ready my whole life.
You've been ready since I started this 19-minute bit that you have to edit all night long. In the finals, folks, we have the Evergreen State Gooey Ducks up against the North Carolina School of the Arts Fighting Pickles. I don't know what's left to be said. The problem for me, thinking through it, Fighting Pickles and Gooey Ducks, they're both, we've now eliminated any of the female side of things. It's just a penis versus a penis.
No, Gooey Duck is a clam, which you said at the beginning.
Oh, I did not.
I didn't think about that.
I did not think about it like that.
As like a clam, like a female?
No, I get you now.
So that whole time when you were doing the whole like, oh, they're salty and sweet and edible, you guys weren't laughing about that?
Wait. I just want to say that no, it did not cross our minds. And you're right to be outraged that it didn't. But I'm kind of outraged that you waited till the finals to drop that one of the best things about it is that it's a representation of both a clam and a
pickle.
Yep. I was like, what word can I use that isn't the word?
I really hope someone else out there was also thinking those
things. It's like a clam that finally, it's like a clam that's empowered. It's a clam that's like, you know what? I'm not going to be restricted to my shell. Sure, I'm a clam, but I can also be a slug. It is the symbol of our generation.
Yeah, it's progression.
It is progression because it can burrow. It is the largest burrowing clam in the world. I do this bit that's not funny over audio, but I just make eye contact with Dot for a long time while I start talking about.
I love it.
I start going into facts that I don't know are facts, and I keep waiting for him to break eye contact to Google it for me, and he doesn't. And so I just keep like not breaking eye contact, and he is usually very uncomfortable. Look, I'm a little angry because I feel like we knew it from the jump. That it was going to either be, like, we've got 2 number one seeds going against each other in the final.
That proves Ashley's point about the bracket.
Yeah.
Never worse than a 3 seed.
Well, the Gooey Ducks doesn't have an eye in it, so.
But the Fighting Pickles does.
Has a
no,
bunch
but
of
it's
eyes.
The coach. The
I
coach
know.
Is less.
No, it was a joke.
if the Gooey Duck did have an eye in it.
Let's get them on the phone. Let's get them on the phone and find out if their coach has an eye in the name or not. Can you call them up?
I'm working on that right now.
Get one of them on the phone. Yep. We got to know. If we're going to make a pick, we got to know. How could we possibly proceed?
Are either of them blue?
His name?
The Gooey Ducks appear to be green.
Gooey Duck's last name is Malroy.
M-A-L-R-O-Y. At what sport is this?
It's Evergreen State College Athletics. It just says
basketball.
Tim Malroy. Yeah, basketball head coach.
Basketball. Okay, folks. So we have some breaking news. Dop, you just Googled. You were looking up the North Carolina School of the Arts Fighting Pickles to see if their coach had an I in his name. And what did you find?
I found out that the University of North Carolina School of the Arts has an athletic training program.
Which is not a team.
No, it is not.
Or an athletic department.
Nope.
So it's probably, because I see here that they've got a school of dance, school of drama, filmmaking, music, design, and production. It is. This seems like a, well, Katie, there it is in your face. It seems like a school of the arts. And, well, you know, in college, arts means something different. You can get a liberal arts degree, and it has nothing to do with painting. So apologies for being that dumb. But I don't think this place has a, it's a cool name. But it's not ever being used. And so between that and the thing you just said about it being both representative of both genders in an equal and equally disgusting way, I think our champion is the Evergreen State College Gooey Ducks, folks. That's right. That's right. That's right. Congratulations. Wow. There it is. Congratulations to them on nothing. I don't, this was a.
What do they win?
They win. I will go up to their school and be their mascot for a day, week. I don't.
Probably, let's say a day.
For one sporting event.
For a sporting
Wait,
event.
Like you go inside the.
Wow. I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable answering that question.
The costume.
I think, do they have one?
Yeah.
Geoduck mask. I just said Geoduck. Speedy the Gooey Duck. Yeah, they do. Ooh. He's shiny. Okay, so
she could be a she.
Or she. You've heard it here first, folks. Evergreen State College, reach out if you want. I will come up and be a Gooey Duck for a day. It's a tough job, but someone's got to do it. Why do I do this to myself?
I don't know why.
We just did a mascot thing where I was making all the worst ones, and then I've now agreed to be one. But that's okay. I feel like we're all Gooey Ducks on the inside and the outside of our shells. Okay, so that's this week's podcast. Everybody, thank you for listening. I hope you had fun. This one went off the rails fast. This one you might call a rail splitter, a Lincoln Memorial University rail splitter. We split it right down the middle. We just went right off the track. Okay. Thank you guys all for listening. Do it again later, maybe. This is a podcast you might be like, you know what? I'm going to sit with my first listen. I'm going to let it digest. I'm going to go back and listen to it again. And maybe that's the thing you feel like doing. When you guys just look at
I didn't know if I should jump in. I was going to say, on a different device where you download it twice.
Sure. Hey, remember when I told you that Spotify has podcasts now? Maybe you go to Spotify and listen to it again just to let Spotify know that we told you that there's a podcast on Spotify and you listen to it. Speaking of Spotify, a wonderful sponsor of ours, ESPN is a big favor to ask you guys. We promise it's not going to take too much of your time. If you have the time, since our show is supported by some fantastic sponsors and ESPN wants to know what you think about that, just head to ESPNpodcaststudy.com, fill out a short anonymous survey. That's all they want you to do. I think it might make us look good if you fill it out. But again, it should be quick if you have the time and you like. I like filling out surveys sometimes.
Really?
Filling in little bubbles and stuff is fun and it's like easy and it's not stressful. So if you're weird like me and you like to fill out surveys for no reason, go to ESPNpodcaststudy.com. Big thanks to SeatGeek, another wonderful sponsor of ours. And as I've now said, I think 15 times to all of you, leave us a voicemail, 860-506-5571. Is that everything? Did I get through all the things?
I think so.
Okay, say goodbye, Doc.
Bye, Doc.
Say goodbye, Ashley.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Love you. Mean it.
SimpliSafe Home Security is like getting commercial-grade enterprise-level security, but for your own home. Think about the security Fortune 500 companies use. They need to know police are going to be on the scene immediately. This is exactly the kind of security you get with SimpliSafe. If there's a break-in, SimpliSafe uses real video evidence to give police an eyewitness account of the crime. And that means police dispatch up to 350% faster than for a normal burglar alarm. With SimpliSafe, you get comprehensive protection for your home. Outdoor cameras and doorbells alert you to anyone approaching your home. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors guard inside. Plus, SimpliSafe protects your home from fires, water damage, and carbon monoxide poisoning. It's all monitored 24/7 by live security professionals. You can set up your system yourself with no tools needed, or SimpliSafe's experts can do it for you. And it's only 50 cents a day with no contracts. Go to simplisafe.com/Nolan today to get free shipping on your order, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's simplisafe.com/Nolan to save on home security today. Simplisafe.com/Nolan.